All right, let's agree together. Lord, help this good seed to find good soil this day and to bear much fruit. Amen. I try to think of openings a lot, and it's like a skill or a tool of speaking. One of the matters of communication is upfront rapport and an opening. And I really could not think of an opening, and was praying about it, and it really was given to me pretty strong. The opening is right there in those first five words of John 15:16. It's actually a humiliating opening or a humbling word from the Lord to us. You did not choose me. And so for all that we try to do and try to be, and for all the credit and glory that we tend to desire, really, we're just tools. Anybody ever say, oh, you're just a tool? We're a means to God's end. I've got some favorite tools, like go-to tools. I do a lot of mechanic work, not by choice, but... And there are things, like I had my daughter's Honda up here. If some of you saw some guy up here working on a car, that was me. And so you got to figure out, you know, what are you going to need, because it's not at home. So there's like the go-to ones, the leverage bar, my favorite leverage bar. It's just a pipe like this. And man, that thing, I got it out of a dumpster back in Michigan. I got so much use out of that thing. You know, you mechanics know what leverage is all about, right? And then these green-handled pliers, very, very helpful. And so I did pretty well. I didn't have to go back and get anything. I figured it out, what I needed up front. And the tools, I chose the tools. It's not like they really had any inherent worth or value. They're passive. I'm the active one. And that's like us with Jesus. And in our human side, we want to be worthy. We want to do I measure up? Am I progressing? It's all a lot of self-focus. And one could say, well, we are to examine ourselves. And I agree. We'll look at some of that in this today. But so much of it is passive. So much of it is like, let us labor to enter into his rest. Or let us be his tools, his willing vessels. And he'll decide the time and the opportunity to utilize us. He's going to do something through his vessels. And also, thank you, Danielle. You basically gave the opening today. So your opening for our service was a fitting opening for the message today. John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. Appointed means to lay low. It's a very aggressive use of I'm doing it, I'm using you basically. But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now, for those who were here last week, this message is an extension of that message, faith and fruitfulness. And it may be worth your while to listen to that as well if you get a chance. And so the Lord has chosen us. He tells his disciples, and he tells us as well. His disciples who are with him, his disciples who he said, no longer do I call you servants, I call you friends. But they were set straight that they basically were going to be used. They did not have to muster up, measure up, perform, be the center of attention. No flesh is going to glory in God's presence. There's enough of that, unfortunately, in the world, and it's sadder still when it's in the church, when we would presume to lift up somebody or receive glory. No, we're just tools. You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you that to be fruitful. You are going to be fruitful. And so whoever's in Jesus is going to be fruitful. It doesn't matter what your estimation of fruitfulness is or your definition of fruitfulness is. If you're in Christ, you're producing fruit. And the externals or the types, the setting, the way in which you do it is not a very relevant matter. And so, you know, often we think in terms of numbers and something that is evident, but it could be the simplicity of the widow in her persistent prayers that avail much. An unseen fruit, a sweet fruit, something in the presence of God. It's that mother which is taking care of those two, those three, those four children day in and day out, and is bearing long, but she consistently gives herself, and she gives them the word, and she gives them a safe setting by which they can become productive and fruitful. God chose you, and where God has you, people are often wondering, you know, what is God's will for my life? And they're always off in the future, that God's will involves much more than where I'm at right now. And it's actually the exact opposite. God's will, if you're a Christian and you belong to God, you are in God's will. He's got you in a place, in a season, and He is bringing forth fruitfulness, whether or you can recognize it or not. And so I say this is humiliating, but in another sense, it's liberating. It takes a lot of pressure off of us, and we can say, I can be fruitful where I'm at right now. I can be fruitful in the land of my affliction. By the way, who said that? Who named one of his sons fruitful in the land of his affliction? Joseph. In Genesis, he named his second son Ephraim. Fruitfulness. You say, man, where I'm at right now is like an affliction. I'm not satisfied. I'm discontented. And, you know, what's God's will? Where is this? This is just a stepping stone working towards God's will. Now, God is with you in the present, and He is working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You didn't choose Him. He chose you. We love Him not because, you know, we first loved Him, but because He first loved us and gave Himself for us. Now, what this strongly communicates is we are the Lord's planting, rooted in Jesus, and we're positioned to be fruitful in every good work. The Lord made a garden. He planted this garden on the east in Eden. He put people in the garden. Welcome to the new creation, the church. It is a garden, and the soil is fertile. And the Lord plants His people, and He begins to produce, to bring fruit in their lives. And what is the source of this fruitfulness? Well, it's the fruitful vine, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. John 15, verses 1 and 5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And so really, it's a whole lot about Jesus and just a little bit about us. You've got Jesus as the source, the vine. You've got the Father who's doing the tending, the pruning, the caring. And I'm a branch. I'm a tool. I'm a vessel. And as I'm in Him, it's almost like an automatic process that fruitfulness will come forth. The key is abiding. And so what does it mean to abide? What does abiding entail? Well, first and foremost, faith and then love. By faith, I become part of Jesus Christ. Then love comes forth. I love him. He loves me. We are in a continual embrace, if you will. The Holy Spirit makes that embrace a continual experience. And then in Psalm 128, verses 1 through 6, we've got perhaps some other aspects of this abiding. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and walks in his ways. And so part of that abiding in Christ is a godly fear. It's like Peter said, to whom else shall I go? What's the alternative? It's almost like I'm kind of scared to go anywhere else. I'd rather stay connected to you. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and who walks in his ways. Now, let's look at this psalm, and this is, I guess, the fruitful vine psalm. For this one that is abiding, that fears, that walks with the Lord, talks with the Lord, interacts with the Lord, has a relationship with the Lord, look at verse number 2. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed. It shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all of your days. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. And so that's a whole chapter. It's a Psalm 128. And so if you want to have a fruitful experience, if you want to be vibrant and productive and have a contented, satisfying life, here it is. Now, the Holy Spirit gave me an insight into the psalm that I had never seen before. We understand the setting, that it's for a person in general, a God-fearer that obeys. They're going to be rewarded in this life and, of course, in the next life. But could this psalm possibly also have a messianic and prophetic application? In other words, as we know, the things that were written of old, they have a context and an application towards an original audience, but they also, since they've been preserved and the Holy Spirit can apply them personally, they have value and meaning for the church. And to look at this psalm in another way, who is it that went about and had godly reverence, had godly fear, and walked in his ways 100% of the time? Who was the ultimate fulfillment of verse 1 of Psalm 128? Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, it talks about Jesus, who because of his godly reverence and fear, that God heard him. Look at, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. And who always walked. Jesus didn't do something. He didn't speak. He was 100% tied in to his Father. And thinking about him as the fulfillment, the ideal of verse 1, and all the fruitfulness that has come his way. You know, Jesus endured the shame and the suffering for the hope that was set before him, for the harvest that would come his way, a harvest of souls, a new creation. And then verse 3, if we think about this in a messianic, prophetic application, could we not see ourselves in verse 3 that the wife, the bride of Christ, is a fruitful vine in his house? His wife is not dysfunctional. His wife is always going to bear, and like the ideal wife, I guess, of Proverbs 31, that she has all these wonderful characteristics about her. That is fulfilled ultimately in the church. And so the church of Jesus Christ is the fruitful vine in the respect of verse 3. And there's a multiplier effect. Look at verse 3 again. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. the church has a discipleship mandate, and converts, people come in and they're born again, and they're children, and they're born into this family, and they become the bride of Christ as well. And it's a blessed group. Verse 4, behold, thus shall the man be who blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you. See, God's continually speaking blessings upon his church. Sometimes we think, oh, the Lord's angry, and it's just Ichabod is written, and the church is off and dysfunctional, and it's curses, curses, curses. No, the Lord speaks blessings. He rejoices over us with singing. He's very enthusiastic and zealous towards his bride. And though we might not be constant and affectionate towards those whom we should love, though we may be harsh and condemning and critical of ourselves, and then when we are, we do that to others, that's not the position of Christ. The Lord is continuing, you know, no man ever hated his own body. And so the Lord is not sitting there continually flagellating and angry towards his body. He nourishes it. He cleanses it. Now, there might be times where he cleanses with a Brillo pad, and there's a little pain involved, discipline, but he takes care of his body. The Lord bless this people. Bless you from Zion. Look at this. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all your days. Now, the Jerusalem of old is not what we look towards. We look towards the Jerusalem that is above. And so could we not also say by the Holy Spirit, may this group, may we see the prosperity. May we experience the Jerusalem that is above all of our days and as our final abode. And verse 6, generational multiplication. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon this Israel, the Israel of God. And so these conditions of fruitfulness, this is a main point today. God has created the conditions for his people to be continually fruitful. I was thinking about like settlers that came into a land, and let's say the land was wide open, and it was like frontier, and the group decided, you know, we're just going to spread out here and there, and the land got allotted in certain ways. Some people would be luckier than others. Some people would just happen to be allotted a stretch of land that would have super fertile soil and good irrigation conditions or runoff conditions depending on their crop. And some people, just by the luck of the draw, would have a lot or a plot of land that wasn't so good. And so it's almost like, if you would, like a lottery. And some people are winners and some people are losers. And I wonder how much that factors into wealth in human history, that the people that just happened to settle on the right land eventually became the landed aristocracy and the wealthy, just because they had land that could produce, and then they were able to grow and do other things, whereas the others that happened to be in a horrible plot of ground, it just didn't work out so well, they eventually became impoverished. Now think about this. There's no lottery. There's no guesswork for us. We've like all hit it rich. We all could say eureka with the conditions that we've come into. When one is saved, we come into the greatest conditions for productivity and fruitfulness possible. It's like sky's the limit. It's like the plans that God has for us and the destiny is off the charts. And that is our inheritance. Jesus Christ is the land, if you will. He's like the one that we receive and that we inherit and that we now become productive and we multiply and there's blessings upon blessings. Of course, for all the systems, if you will, that God has put into place for us to be productive and fruitful, unfortunately, we can throw a monkey wrench in the works at times. See, if all this was automatic and there was no changing it, there'd be no reason for this message today. However, even with the productive place that God has put us in, and how God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. It's almost like you have to work hard not to be fruitful. Boy, do we find ways. Israel really disappointed God. How much did God want to bring them into a fruitful land? A land flowing in milk and honey. A land that receives the rains of heaven. The land that is just so productive. It would make them wealthy. You know, that's one of the reasons why the Jews became wealthy. Not only because of their favored status of God, but they came into a very productive land and they could multiply and become industrious. And God basically guaranteed that they would become wealthy. Then he gave warnings or Deuteronomy. But in generations, this group of people began to produce things that weren't so good. And with that, we come to Isaiah chapter 5, and we hear about the sad poisonberry song. You ever hear the sad poisonberry song? You ever hear, like, sad songs? I mean, listen to country music, sad songs. Cry in your beer songs, sad songs. Well, not to be disrespectful, but here's a sad song that God basically had to sing over his vineyard. Verse 1 of Isaiah 5. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it, he cleared it of stones, and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. Now, the word in the original language for wild has the connotation of poison berries. Wild grapes. Verse 3. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there for me to do for my vineyard that I've not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield poison berries? Wild grapes. Verse 5, and I'll tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I'll remove its hedge. It will be devoured. I'll break down its wall. It'll be trampled down. I will make it a waste, and it shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. And I will also command the clouds that they rain no more upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And God looked for justice. What did he find? People were treating each other real bad. Bloodshed. He looked for righteousness. Instead, selfishness, eventuating and victimizing. But behold, an outcry. What a sad thing. It's like God was saying, what more could I do? I've already done so much, and I created all the conditions for you all to produce good fruits. God had intended that the people of Israel would be a priesthood unto him, that they would show forth the praises of him, and that they would be a shining light to the Gentile nations. Instead, they became consumed with selfishness. Life was all about them at anybody else's expense. And so what was sweet became bitter. What was life-giving and healthy became toxic and poisonous. It's a sad song, is it not? God did a lot for those people. And in Matthew 21, verse 43, Jesus told the final generation of that era. He basically said it like this. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. God bore long with the Jews. For centuries, he wooed them. He sent them prophets. He blessed them in so many ways. And instead of changing, instead of repenting, instead of worshiping God and being a light in the world, they were consumed with self, and eventually they lost their place. And these things were written as an admonition to you and I today. These aren't merely history lessons. They're extremely relevant because God has also done the exact same thing for us. He has given us as Christians every resource, super generous. It's not for us to ascend, that is to bring Christ down from above. We don't have to go and learn and get some degree or some special thing, waiting for some special thing, nor do we have to descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up. He's already with us. We already are planted in the fruitful vine. And so the question that I can't help but to ask myself is, as I go along, as I walk this Christian walk, this pilgrim's trek through this short life, am I producing more bitter, poisonous fruit than I am the sweet and good fruit that God created for me to produce? It is a question that I have to examine. Was there a time in my life where there was a sweetness of fruit, where there was more health and vitality? And has that increased or has that decreased? What is coming out of my life? And it's something that a church has to ask itself and has to pray about. Are we, with all the good conditions, God has given us the best lay of land possible. It's like we've won the land lottery. Every church is able to produce. Are we producing the right fruit, or are poison berries developing? Is it becoming something that God did not intend for it to be? Because what happened to the people of old can also happen to us. You might say, oh, that just can't be. That was a different era. That was an era where God was angry, but now he's always nice. Well, let's consider Romans chapter 11, verses 17 through 22. And I know this isn't the most exciting thing to hear, but it is the full word of God, and I would be negligent not to give it to us. Romans 11, 17 through 22. For if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree. That's Jesus Christ. That's us as Christians. Verse 18, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Or as Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. You're a tool, you're a branch, you're a means to my end. Verse 19, you may say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. Now here is the difficulty that happens. When we come into Christ, and as Christians, we will be fruitful. But there's always the pride issue. I begin to look at myself. I can celebrate myself for my fruitfulness. I know it's crazy, but we can be crazy. Or I examine myself too much for fruit. Either way, it can be an unhealthy preoccupation with self, i.e. pride. And so one could say, okay, we can look back and we can say, oh, they were broken off because of unbelief. And pride can come in. Arrogance can come into our lives. Verse 21, for if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note the kindness and the severity of God. Severity towards those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue or abide in his kindness, otherwise you too will be cut off. Wow, that's a strong passage, isn't it? That's tough stuff. And it may fly, you know, against some of our deeply held beliefs, but it's something that we need balance in our lives, that God intends for us to be fruitful, and we can't grow proud. We can't get independent. We certainly don't want to produce wild berries, but to continue in his kindness, to always be humble, to not be so focused on oneself and to not be giving God the glory and the credit at all times for any good that could be produced in our lives. Hebrews 12:15 gives us another aspect of the warnings that we need. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. And brothers and sisters, God is evaluating his branches. He's evaluating each and every one of us. Some of us are producing bitter, poison fruits, and God's going to tend to us. Now, it is not his particular mode to just slice off right away. He prunes, he cares for, but be careful. If you become a continual, bitter, producing poison berry branch, just as they were cut off of old, we could lose our place. It's a sobering thought. Now, here's something that, as I was considering these passages, and I remembered in Matthew 13, where Jesus gave an illustration. He talked about the tares and the wheat, or the weeds and the wheat in the more contemporary versions. And there was a field that God had put forth, and he planted wheat, and an enemy came while men slept and put in these weeds. And the servants came and said, "Oh, look at these weeds coming up, this wheat." And the master said, "An enemy has done this. Let them grow up together, and in the end, there's going to be a sorting." And I was thinking about in the field that is my life, how many times have I allowed an enemy to come in and to plant a weed, to plant a bitter seed, if you will. And now the fruit of bitterness, the fruit of anger, the fruit of frustration, the fruit of gossip, the fruit of discontentedness and harshness is coming out of my life. And God, only God can sort those things out. And God will, if we'll ask him, "Lord, sort these things out. Take these weeds away. There is wheat. There is fruit that can be used for your value. But take these weeds out." Just like at the end of time, he's going to sort between the weeds and the wheat. God, do that in my life right now. And I wonder if in your life, if an enemy has come in, and because of something that's happened, because of something that somebody said about you, because of a disappointment, because of a physical ailment, the enemy had an opportunity to plant weeds in your life, and now the bitter fruit, the poison berries, are coming forth. I'm going to close with some wisdom to the fruitful. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." And so the conditions for fruitfulness, the conditions for life, are ours. It's like at hand. It's not something we got to try to do. If we'll stay with the Lord, if we'll walk in his ways, if we'll be quick to repent, if we'll stay awake and not let an enemy come in and plant bitter roots, which eventually come out and defile not only yourself, but many others. If we'll do that, we will experience fruitfulness. God will have a fruitful people. And so let's, if we could, stand together and pray. Certainly not for a lack of God preparing conditions. The conditions are ripe. You can be fruitful. Your family can be a fruitful family. Our church can be a very fruitful church. It is not something we got to go to a seminar about. God has created the great conditions. It's ours for the taking. Let us continue to abide and to give ourselves to that fruitful process. If we could close our eyes for a moment. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to pray for you today. You're not yet part of His life process. You're alive naturally, but not spiritually. In order to go to heaven, you have to be born again. If you'd like me to pray for you today, just between you and I, Pastor, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. Would you please take time to pray for me after the service? I'd be very glad to. If you could just raise your hand so I can remember who to pray for today. God loves you, friend. No one can be good enough to be right with God. Jesus came and lived a perfect life. That's how a person can be accepted to God. We have to go through Jesus Christ. Just raise your hand. I will pray for you today. Brothers and sisters, the conditions of fruitfulness are there. Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. Can we as a branch be stubborn? Can we short circuit or throw a monkey wrench into the works? Yep. And so today, if you want to say, Lord, I want to be fruitful. Let my life produce much fruit for your glory. May the bulk of the fruit be sweet and bring life and health. If there's poisonous berries that I'm producing, Lord, please help me. Please take those conditions away. Help me to be healthy in every way. If you'd like prayer for that, just come on down today. And also as a church family, Lord, let our church be fruitful. There's different corners of God's vineyard. All of His land is like Eden. But not all of His land is producing as it should. There's some responsibility on our part. I want to be fruitful. I want to be an acceptable offering to God.